Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. How you doing? Are you grooming again?
Hi, Barbara. I'm not going to complain, but, you know, I'm just going to complain a little bit because, no, I am not grooming, but I'll come to that story a little bit later.
Oh, no.
I don't want to be a Wendy whiner or a Connie complainer.
You sound a little whiny.
Well, maybe I do, because we're going to talk about that in our first segment on the Groom Pod this week. Welcome to episode 259 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 21st, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot Show Season, Evolution Shears, Absorber Towel, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. This week, we're going to talk about complaining complainers and phthalates and balance and nail trims. Speaking of the Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the Absorber Towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the Absorber Towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. So, Barbara, I'm sure you're sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting to hear about my mobile adventures this week.
Yeah, so why aren't you grooming, Susie?
Well, my wheel fell off.
Oh, shit.
Well, mostly.
Oh, shit.
It was kind of still on.
Tell me. Oh, no, man. And you're still alive. You must have an angel on your shoulder when you drive that thing.
The truth is, I just stay off the freeways for the most part. And I think that any time you're going to get in a wreck, then if you wreck it at a slower speed, it wrecks less stuff. So here's what happened. I was driving up the street, headed to my first appointment on Saturday morning. And all of a sudden, I heard a thunk as if the trailer went in a pothole. Now, if the trailer goes in a pothole, by the time it makes the noise, I can't see the pothole. So I just kind of assumed I had gone in a pothole. And then a guy starts honking his horn and waving at me, flailing his arms and everything, and saying, pull over, your wheel is wiggling. And I thought, well, that's not a good sign. He said, something popped off. So I pulled into the gas station, and I got out, and I looked at my wheel, and it's called a bearing retainer cap, and it covers your bearings, had come off and flown across the road. And it looked like perhaps my hub nut, which we tightened before the trailer tongue incident, looked like my hub nut was loose, maybe, although it was so full of grease, I couldn't really tell. And I like to be self-sufficient, but at this moment, I knew my husband was out and about, and if it was the wheel bearing, the parts store was right up the street. We could do it right on the spot. So I did the girly thing, and I called him for help. Help! I need help! I'm broke down on the side of the road! Which I just never do that. I always try to fix it myself, because that's who I am. But he was very happy to be needed, because that's what he lives for.
Poor guy, and you deprive him of that most of the time.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So he turned around and headed over to where I was broken down. Meanwhile, I looked for my bearing cap, and I couldn't find it. But I thought at that point that was all that was going on. So he said, well, let's just drive a little bit up the street to the parts store. We'll park it there. And if you need a tow, at least we can buy the parts, and I'll fix it at home. Because we just thought it was the bearing pack. Well, we got over to the parking lot and we jacked up the trailer and we started to wiggle the wheel and we realized that the wheel was very loose, but the lug nuts were still tight on it. It had sheared off where the axle holds the wheel on, just kind of disconnected, broken off, busted, ripped in half, shredded.
Shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the hub of the wheel was still attached to the tire, but not attached to the axle anymore, really. There was a little bit.
Axle. Oh, holding on by a thread, huh? So, you got lucky that that guy was behind you and knew to wave vigorously.
Honking and waving like a crazy man.
Boy, you owe him a thank you.
Yes, and I gave him as best as I could a thank you. But then I noticed him later looking for the wheel bearing cap on the side of the road after we were already planning on going up the street to the parts store. So we did. We got to the parts store. And at that point, Terry pulled the wheel off and we could see that the bearings were all chewed up and the hub was broken. So I had to decide what to do. And this is a statement for why you have no graphics on your trailer. Triple O will tell me if I'm not a business. But if I had graphics on there that said I was a business, I would be paying for tows all this time. So I call AAA and they send a tow truck over. And meanwhile, I send my husband up the street to the RV service center that's in our neighborhood. And he went up there and he schmoozed the guys who know me because they've done some things for me before. And, you know, when you meet me, I'm kind of memorable anyway. And then with this little tiny grooming trailer at an RV place, they remember the vehicle. So Terry went up and said, my wife's a groomer. And he goes, I remember her.
You stand out.
And Leo, the guy at the RV place, he says, well, that's an easy fix for us. Maybe it'll take an hour. So Terry's thinking, oh, this is good. This is only an hour. We can get this fixed. He said, but the first moment in time at which I have an hour that I can block out to promise you is July 20th.
Oh, no.
I know.
No.
I happen to know what it's like to work in these shops. And there will be a day that will come along where the parts didn't show up for something they were supposed to work on. And my little hour trailer project will be there waiting for them to fix it on the spot. And Leo said, I can't promise you and I can't give you a date. But if we get a moment in time where we can sneak you in, where we don't really have a spot for you, we will do it. And since he knows it's my business, he'll probably be able to get it out before the 20th. But I can't promise anyone anything until that 20th of July date. But I'm not going to start calling my reschedules. I'm going to do it day by day. I've called Monday and I'm going to call Tuesday. So I've called today, Monday and Tuesday, and of course my Saturday ones. And then I'll just call day by day and everybody's so tolerant and everyone will understand and nobody wants me to have to buy a new trailer. I don't want to buy a new trailer. There isn't really a good small trailer out there, not like this one. And I don't want to build a trailer because that seems like a lot of work for me. A little more work than I want. But the guys at the RV place will probably take care of it. Thank goodness, once again, going slowly. I would have seen that wheel wobbling eventually, but I probably saved myself some damage by having that guy flag me over and then my husband coming down. And it all will work out. But needless to say, now I have a little time to work on some new ads. And we're going to shrink those up a little bit. Our advertisers are very important to us. We're going to make the ads work, but I won't be doing a lot of grooming for the next little bit. So I won't have that to talk about. Yeah. So once again, adventures in mobile grooming. Look, there's way worse things that could happen. I'm in good shape. It's fine. Nobody got hurt. So the dogs have to wait. We've just went through 3 months with no haircuts. I know that they can go a month without a haircut. It's not that big a deal. I'll just have to work like a crazy person when they get back. Meanwhile, I'm living the life of leisure. The leisure life of a podcaster.
So I kind of envy you then. That you don't have dogs that have gone 3 months that still haven't caught up on?
Yeah, there's a few. I've got a few, and I especially have the two cats for the lady with MS, the two Himalayans, that I have scheduled in on the 27th. But I'm actually hoping that by next week that he'll probably have it back together if the gods are with me. They seem to be with me in that every time I break down, I'm not hurting anyone. This is just what happens with a 14-year-old trailer. I get it. No, I don't really. I have one up the street, but they were just fine with it. You know, they've waited this long, so they're not that concerned about waiting a little bit longer. They all want to wait for me. They're all my people. They all already love me, so, well, you know.
I have a few of my people that haven't come back since the hiatus, you know. And the problem is, Yvonne is out again, so I don't dare call these people and say, hey, did you get the dog groomed? Come on in. One of them is good friends and the little dog, Frank. I'm afraid because the last 2 weeks I've worked 4 days, and I don't really like working 4 days at my age and stage. And so this coming week I'm working 3 days, and I don't want to call people and have to add a day.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The 3 days works for me. The 4 days, not so much. And that sounds like such a sissy, but this is 80-year-old grooming we're talking about. You know, I think I'm a miracle that I'm even doing it.
You're a role model for me. I plan on doing the same thing. It's just that I'll be doing it from the window of my hotel room at the amusement park. A little bird told me that you had a little nail trim incident.
Oh, damn it. I got bit, Susie. I got nailed by a Bichon of all breeds.
Darn it.
And, you know, this dog has bit me before about the nails. And before, when I was working alone, I've been grooming this dog for years and years. There's two of them. There's the one that's a Bichon. They have me groom in a horrible little custom way that the husband likes with long ears. And the other one is a little Bichon poodle mix that I do my little cute thing with the bobbed short ears and stuff. And the people really love me, and they're really loyal. And the Bichon has bit me before, and I went a long period of time just refusing to do his nails and saying he has to go to the vet to do them. And then Yvonne and I discovered a way of doing it together where it was safe for me, and she was just like restraining his head against her chest, which she does. And so that reduced his anxiety. It's just highly anxious. I can't put a muzzle on this dog. He would, like, blow an artery. I swear to God, he'd have a stroke. He just, like, loses it if I try to put a muzzle on him. And I was working at the table where the homemade groomer's helper, the homemade groomer's helper has disappeared.
Uh-oh.
It has not only been removed, it's been dismantled, and the pieces are kind of lost, quote unquote.
Bummer.
Lost. Where is that? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, like, God, I hate that. So I did have the head tied up pretty tightly to the post pole, but he managed to flip around on a, this is a front paw, he managed to flip around and get me on the second nail, and he got me right on the tip of the finger in between the pad and the nail. That is such a difficult place to bandage and protect.
Ouch.
I just have it all wrapped up with vet wrap and changing it a couple of times a day. But, and so I said, he bit me, and you need to take it to the vet for nails. He really needs it done.
Yeah.
I so wanted to do that because it was so noticeable that it needed to be done. She was just fine. Oh, fine. Okay, thanks. Sorry. You know, we just kind of brushed it off that quickly.
Hey, anything else going on?
Oh, man, it's hot here. It's like, and we got a forest fire going in the mountains, in my favorite mountain.
Still.
Oh, yeah, it's getting closer and closer to town. And the Mount Lemmon Summer Haven little resort area has had to evacuate, and they just got burned out about 5 years ago. And they had just, like, gradually come back to life.
Bummer.
And now it's being threatened again. And this time, the fire is actually coming down the canyons, getting closer and closer to the foothills residential area, And, you know, so one of the things that's happening is that in our Midtown area, somebody's dog got snatched by a pack of coyotes.
Uh-oh.
Another one, man, was in his yard with his two chihuahuas, and they came quickly over the fence and snatched one. That's an appetizer.
Yeah, no kidding.
So the wildlife is freaking out. There are a bunch of women up in Sabino Canyon rescuing fish. Rescuing fish. And these are mountains that I have a spiritual connection to that goes back to the ages 10 through 18. And I have lived in view of these mountains, and they're my spiritual rock. And when I was a emotional preteen, I used to sit out on our property away from the house. We had 12 acres. And I would sit down there in a wash. That's a dry stream. My Siamese cat would come follow me and sit down and hold my hand. He would actually put his paw over my hand. And I would cry and look at the mountains. And they would gradually give me more strength and more strength and more strength. And I used to ride my horses all over this desert, including those foothills that are in danger now, and sing to the mountains. I've written poems to those mountains. So it's breaking my heart to have them inflamed. And I mean, there's just like 30,000 acres have burned. I mean, it's big fire.
Oh, that's awful. I don't like that. Let's talk about happier things.
Okay, let's talk about grooming. That might be appropriate.
Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the Wendy Winers of the world, the complainers. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. What brings this up for you, this complaining thing, dare I ask?
Well, that's because I actually think that there's a distinction between complaining and giving feedback and being a complainer. Sometimes we overreact to customers giving us negative feedback, and we tend to label people. There are complainers. There are people that have no satisfaction in their life. There are people that just have a pattern of behavior that either comes across as complaining or is actual, you know, negativity and dissatisfaction at a drop of a hat, and are just like hard to satisfy. Maybe they don't have a good sex life. I don't know. You know? Probably hard there too,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, God, what do I have to do? So just feel sorry for their partner. What's important is that when you have complaints and complainers, not to take it personally.
Right.
Not to take it, even though our work is so personal and we put our personal hearts and soul and skills into every dog that we groom, we cannot take it personally. You just got to take that personal hat off and put the complaint department hat on. You just need to try to achieve a emotional neutrality.
Sometimes it's hard, though, when somebody's criticizing you and you just, it's hard to just take that moment and put yourself in check.
Well, it's always hard to take a moment and put yourself in check. It's always hard to catch yourself taking it personally, regardless of what's going on. You know, this is just, this is what some people never do that work on themselves.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know, isn't that a fact?
Yep.
Some people never do. And so in a way, they never bloom fully.
Right.
They never fully actualize themselves because they're stuck with their shit.
Yeah, it's the difference between, like, for instance, when I start to take something personally, I hear the words coming out of my mouth, and even though they've left the facility, I still know I shouldn't have said them. At least I can recognize that I'm doing it and then try to head myself off at the pass by using some own personal divergent techniques to get me to go back to not being attacked. Because it is an attack, isn't it? It's not supposed to be an attack.
Yeah. That's right, but we take it as an attack.
Yep.
And we even take, so some complaints need to be listened to. Well, all complaints need to be heard, because if we don't listen, the complainer gets louder and louder and more complaining. So we really need to hear it out. And for example, complaints about shampoo reactions.
Oh, that's a good one, because they certainly pop up occasionally for everybody.
See, and that shit happens.
Yeah.
Dogs will have almost random shampoo reactions. And, you know, sometimes dogs will have reactions to almost, a dog might be highly reactive. Other times, it's something new that you've used, or it can even be, you know, allergic reactions can happen after 10 or 50 applications of the sensitizer.
Right. If anybody pays attention, we've talked about that before, about allergens and things like that.
Right. So the common response to hearing Fido scratch like crazy for a week after your last bath is to say, well, I bathed him in the same thing I've been bathing him in for 2 years. But see, that's just taking it personal.
Right.
And throwing that back at them. That's not really engaging in the possibility that something might have happened, or that something can happen, or that, oh, thank you for telling me that allergic reactions can happen. And if your hand bathing actually detergent irritations can happen, stuff like that can happen. Thank you for telling me, and next time we'll use something different. Or can't just fuck you, you're overreacting, go away. You know, I've actually heard of groomers who say, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah,
you know, people...
I've heard that.
You know, like, yeah. Some groomers just shut down. They're so uncomfortable with a complaint that they just can't absorb it and can't go through a process of listening to it and trying to find a solution. So what do you do when there are complainers that have some neurotic need? So you want to elicit complaints. I have a circumstance, and I bet you do too, where you are so personable that people don't want to complain to you.
Yes, I wonder that often.
Right? I wonder that often, too. People like me so much, they don't want to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Right? So they're taking it personally for me. Before I even have a chance. They're just assuming I'm going to take it personally. And so they want to save me from that pain. And so they just don't say anything. They just don't say anything. And you're a nice person and I'm going somewhere else. And they just disappear. But if you make it very clear that feedback of all kinds is welcome at all times, you don't want a mistake for having people have to swallow it and it will build up and then all of a sudden they'll be unhappy about some silly, stupid, ridiculous thing.
I always say my grooming is a work in progress, just like me. For instance, I did a dog recently, brand new dog on Friday. Yeah, brand new dog on Friday. It was the daughter of Billy the Kid's mom, and I put the dog down and I saw this huge hair hanging down over his flank and I went, oh no, there's a hair on his flank. And she goes, oh, don't worry about it, I'll just cut it off later. And I said, no, you've paid for the grooming, let me get that hair. And I made her pick the dog up and so that I could recut it. She was gonna let that obnoxious hair go because she liked me and didn't want to hurt my feelings by pointing out that huge hair hanging down on the tuck up.
I know. And, you know, sometimes, especially when you're grooming dogs in table restraint, that's an over the table restraint, and so you're grooming one side and then you're grooming another side and then you're grooming the head, sometimes you don't pay enough attention to the rear view. And then when the dog starts to leave the building on the leash, suddenly you see, you know, shit, that dog looks like it's got a hanging diaper under
here. Yes. This dog had been freshly neutered, so he had a little sack down there and was very sensitive in that area. So I did leave a little baggage down there. I told her, I pointed it out.
I just kind of try to take another look and make a quick decision about, is that something I really need to deal with? Are they going to see what I see?
Yeah.
That's another thing.
That is another thing.
Are they going to see what I see? And it depends on the customer. Because the other day I saw the Shih Tzu going out the door, and I had shortened the end of her tail because it was like too long and she was like, she could step on her own tail. You know, I have a way in which I do that. But I had not shortened the long hair off of the tail that's nearer the body. So that hair was still hanging down too long. And I saw it as I saw the dog walk the way she was holding her tail. I mean, sometimes older Shih Tzus and Bichons, they have a little arthritis up there in their lower backbone, and it makes it uncomfortable for them to hold their tail up and over all the time like they used to. So they kind of hang it.
Yes.
You know, it helps to put the dog down on the floor after you groom it and see how it holds its tail and whether your grooming is sufficient. You know, she was walking out the door and I just said, I'll get more off that tail next time.
That works good. But how do you elicit the feedback then? Do you do it when the dog's going home? Do you do it when the dog comes back? Because what I have a tendency to do is say, how was last time's grooming? Was everything okay? So that I try to bring it out a little bit.
Well, I try on the first date. On our first date, I try to be clear that if there's anything that's wrong with the grooming that they don't like, or if there's any post-grooming problems, I want to know right away. So that I can recall what products I use. I have so many different products. I do not have the time to take notes on every single thing. I might have used a shampoo, a conditioner, some silicone stuff, a finishing spray, mousse on the top of the head. Oh, man, I made the best little Cairn Terrier head yesterday.
Tangent.
Using eye group.
On a tangent.
On a tangent now, I use the eye groom, eye style stuff, and I got his little head was so freaking cute, and I didn't get a picture of it. And I have something else to tell you about that group. Okay, so where was I?
We were talking about eliciting complaints and feedback.
On our first date, I try to make it very clear that I want to hear back about any problems or any dissatisfactions, and that I will try to correct that next time. I need to know about product dissatisfactions real quickly because I use so many different products. And I just try to make that real clear with them. And sometimes they remember or not. And I do ask, how are we doing? Did you like it last time? Not every time with every customer. Any changes we need to make for the summer, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
So I ask for feedback, and that helps just to let them know that it's okay to say something.
Okay. That sounds good. Anything else you want to talk about complaining and not running away and not taking it personally?
But encouraging a certain amount of complaining. You know, I have had customers that were too much complaints. If it's a really negative pattern that it makes you feel like you just can't ever do good enough. Some people don't realize that they do that, but they're just like never satisfied. It will burn you out fast.
That's for sure. It'll wreck your life.
It will burn you out fast. And so you need to say, I just don't think that I can ever satisfy you, and I'd be happy to send you to my friend, Crystal Dunn.
What else did you want to tell us about that Karen? Is it?
Oh, about the Care Terrier. No, I made an on-the-table decision that was really important. So this is the Karen Terrier. It's a little black Karen Terrier. I used to hand-strip him, but he hated the hand-stripping so much that after a couple of years, I declared it over. I mean, he just hated it. You could just tell. And you know what? He won't even let me card the coat. I start pushing the knife across his back, even as light-handed as I am. He just growls and snaps and eats. Otherwise, he's a very friendly. He's lived with me. They've left him with me. And this is also the Karen Terrier that belongs to my customer whose lifetime partner. She was on her bicycle and she was hit by a truck and she's paralyzed from the head down now, and so she's under 24-hour bed care. She's just like never gonna be a full person again. She's fully mentally all there, and I think she has her arms, but she's got nothing from the waist down, and she's been through a lot. And you know, imagine your life being jerked around so much for your perfect life with your partner, and you've got all this down and everything, and then suddenly you have to be a permanent caretaker to a crippled partner.
Yeah.
Every time I see her, I acknowledge her stress. So what happened was that Duffy has been, usually she goes away from here in the summertime. She goes back east to her family or whatever, and she gets out of here. So here she is stuck in Tucson. It's 110. The dog is suffering. He's black, and he's kind of grown out. So I said, did you want me to shorten him at all? Oh, yeah, please shorten him. So I got him on the table, and I looked through his coat. Well, what's happened is that he, underneath the very top layer, he has lost all his color. He is taupe under there. He is just not black anymore. Brindle barely. It is just like all this. Do you say taupe or do you
taupe.
Say taupe?
Taupe.
I was right.
Yep.
Okay, taupe, which seems like a really ridiculous way to pronounce T-A-U-P-E.
I know.
We really expect people to come from other countries and learn our language, and we have these crazy pronunciations of T-A-U-P is taupe.
Yep, I know.
Taupe is T-O-P-E. Taupe.
Yes.
Nope.
I know it.
Anyway, I digress. Yes.
Okay, so you've got this little dog on the table.
Yeah, so I thought, I looked at it, at his coat, and I realized that if I took him down with even a yellow comb, that I was just going to take off his black exterior and expose all of this other coloration. She was going to lose her little black Toto.
Yeah.
And you know what? I couldn't do it.
I don't blame you.
I couldn't do it. I gave him a very shaved underbelly. I shaved up a little bit past the rib cage. I mean, I really cleaned him out underneath so that he could lie down and cool off that way. And I trimmed his skirt, and I trimmed the legs, and da-da-da-da-da. And then when I texted her that I was ready for her to come, I said, I made a decision at the table not to cut him short because you would lose your little black dog, and I couldn't let that happen to you. Right now, I'm crying.
I know. Well, it's a hard situation.
He's not suffering that much. All dogs pant a lot in Tucson in the summer. Panting is their air conditioning. It's their only way to cool off. It's normal.
Yep.
You can't say because he's panting, we have to remove all his hair. No. But this one, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I get it.
And I also did curb service, pick up and delivery for her, because she really worries about, you know, picking up bugs and stuff. So I told her at her car, I said, she said, oh, he looks so cute. And I'm telling you, that head came out so freaking cute.
Excellent.
I love using products on Westies and Kieran's. I love it.
Well, that is a heartwarming story.
She said, thank you for making that decision, and she tipped me $40.
Very good.
Comb drop. Comb drop.
Comb drop indeed. Okay, let's take another break, and we'll be back with our definition du jour, which is phthalates. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, what are phthalates?
Phthalates are a large group of chemicals. Here again, remember, It's not just one, it's several, many group of chemicals used in hundreds of products, and I'm reading this, such as toys, vinyl flooring and wall covering, detergents, lubricating oils, food packaging, pharmaceuticals, blood bags and tubing, excuse me, I didn't know that, and personal care products such as nail polish, hairsprays, aftershave lotions, soap, shampoos, perfumes, and other fragrance preparations.
That is some serious range. That is a lot of things.
That is a lot of things. And that's why you cannot make great big generalized statements about what is good and what is bad. Now, there are several subtypes of phthalates that have a history of cosmetic use. Primarily DBT, dibutyl phthalate, used in nail polish, DMP, dimethyl phthalate, used in flexible hairspray, and DEP, diethyl phthalate, used as a solvent and fixative in synthetic fragrances. Remember, a fixative is what retards evaporation and loss of fragrance components.
Gives it its staying power.
It's an extender.
Okay.
Right. DBT and DMP have pretty much disappeared from cosmetic use, leaving only DEP is the most common found. But there is no evidence to suggest that DEP, as used in fragrances, has any health at risks.
Well, so where does the bad press come from then?
Okay, so the bad press comes from the same kind of campaigns. In order to get your little craft company or your little small corporation, your small shampoo company recognized in a huge marketplace, you needed to do something. So they started this whole thing. Small manufacturers, this whole business of labeling ingredients as bad or evil or toxic started up. And there was a situation where DBT, dibutyl, right? Dibutyl phthalate, that's used to keep vinyl soft, to keep it from becoming crunchy and flaking and all of that. It's used in nail polish. It's also used in toys to make flexible plastics. So it was used in toys for babies and young children. And there was a big concern because they were finding it in the urine of those kids. Now, one thing, they didn't find any other stuff, they just found it in the urine. Now, finding something in the urine means, Susie, that it's been metabolized and excreted. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a concern that these chemicals are entering the body of very young children. And so DBT was ostracized and possibly deserved to be because of concerns for young children. It has nothing to do with cosmetics, with shampoo.
So the no phthalate thing is, it really doesn't even stem from the shampoo companies or from the shampoo industry at all?
Well, the no phthalate thing comes from the insurance companies. The insurance company, that's a good slip. From the shampoo companies, because yes, it was a way of distinguishing your product, of marketing your product.
Okay,
as having, because people became afraid of the whole group, right? So people became afraid of the whole family. And here we are using DEP in shampoos and fragrance oils and fragrance products. The amount of fragrance in a shampoo is usually almost always less than 2%, often less than 1%, and the amount of DEP in the fragrance is less than 1%. So you've got, you know, like so little of it. We know that the dose makes the poison.
Yes, we've learned that.
First of all, there's no evidence that DEP all by itself and administered at full strength in the vein of the rats can even hurt anybody. You know, there's no evidence that this stuff has human risk factors. And then there's so little of it used, it's just ridiculous. But people got scared. And then every time you see no phthalates, it reconfirms that that's a bad ingredient, right?
Right, which is why it came to my mind this morning.
And so it goes on. I say no to no phthalates.
Right.
But, you know, it's just like not worth a fight when there's more important fights to be had.
Absolutely.
The International Fragrance Tribunal, or whatever they call themselves, there is an international fragrance organization that voluntarily monitors and tests and watches out for bad things that might appear in fragrances. And there's worse things. There's natural ingredients that are toxic. But this particular ingredient does not seem to have any human health risks, but it's just been used as a marketing tool to sell shampoos.
Great information. I'm glad I asked the question this morning. Cool. Okay, one more break, Barbara, and we're going to talk about balance and nail trims.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grind time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. This came to mind for me because I was listening to Creating Great Grooming Dogs, Chrissy Neumeyer Smith's podcast, and she was talking about moving dogs around on the table, which we're going to have her on in a couple weeks to talk about that. But it got me thinking about what makes a nail trim such an anxiety-ridden process. And I think a lot of it is because we're taking the balance away from the dogs sometimes. Not always, because some dogs have better balance than others, just like people, right?
Yeah, old dogs.
Absolutely old dogs. The ability to balance affects the whole perception of the nail trimming process for the dogs. When we trim their nails, then we throw them off balance on top of it, and we do something that often a roll of the dice can cause a little bit of pain. You know, it doesn't always cause pain, but that option is there. It makes them anxious for their nail trims. And we want to avoid those pitfalls. And I want to talk first about big dogs, because I think as big dogs age, they are much more uncomfortable since we don't pick them up often completely off the ground. They're much more uncomfortable with lifting up a foot and having their nails trimmed. Then throw onto it some health issues. you know, and you can really have some difficult, fear-ridden animals. So what I start out with is, Barbara, I always look at the anatomy of the dog when it's coming into the trailer and see how it's walking and what its shape is looking like and if I can see any arthritic movement. For instance, oftentimes dogs will pace. You know, they move their two right feet, then their two left feet, then their two right feet, then their two left feet. That's not the normal gait of a dog. That's indicating some pain somewhere along the lines. Also, fiddle front dogs, they're going to be a little bit less able to balance because they're just built kind of bad for balancing. Favoring a foot. You know, if they've got a knee problem, you'll see them favoring a foot. And then it makes balancing very difficult. Also, splayed feet. If you see that an old dog has splayed feet, they're splayed because they've lost the muscle tension. It usually happens with the fat ones, and they are very nervous when you pick up a foot. You don't do a lot of big dogs anymore, so this probably isn't a common thing for you, but do you ever let the dogs lay down for their nail trims, big or small?
Oh, that's a good question. There are some dogs that I let lay down, but if they're gonna struggle, they might as well be up and supported with a flank strap, is the way that I look at it. But, and the other thing that I look for that you didn't mention, but I'm sure you see it too, is that sometimes when dogs have bad hips, especially if they're aging, they're putting all of their weight on their front legs and their front feet, and you can kind of tell that they get overbuilt up in the shoulders.
And muscle wasting in the waist and the hips. You're right.
And those dogs, they'll let you pick up their rear legs because they're not weight-bearing very much. They're just stabilizing a little bit. But you go to pick up those front feet, and it's a huge problem for them.
Yeah.
They don't want to shift their weight onto their back end. Those are the dogs that should be in a sling.
That definitely helps for that. With some of the really big guys, you can also trim a lot of their nails with their feet still all planted on the ground.
Yeah, or you can let them sit down. I've let them sit down, and they sit down, and they kind of cross their back legs underneath there, and then you can kind of like pull a back leg out a little bit, and you can get to it, and they're happy that they're sitting like that.
That is great technique. I definitely will let the dog get comfortable and then do what I can with what I have access to at the time.
Right, right.
Figure out the rest of it later. I also verbalize what I'm doing. Okay, here it comes. Here comes one more. And I give them a break. If they're standing and they have a hard time, I'll do one nail, then I'll put the foot back down and let them stand for a second.
Yeah,
and I'll go, okay, let's do another one and then do the next one. If you've got a big dog that you're doing on the ground and you know that they've got weak hips or a knee problem or balance issues, have the owner help you. Have them stand on the opposite side of the dog and provide support. So that's doubly supportive because it's their person and they're helping hold them up. So that's what I do with the big guys. Oh, I also, on the big guys, will sometimes trim the nails with the clippers instead of Dremeling because it's so much faster.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah, good. Okay. Then with the smaller dogs, the way you hold them actually has a lot of effect on their balance and the way they perceive the nail trim. So be mindful of the way you're holding and supporting the small dogs. They're not as big and maybe, you know, seem a little bit easier to manhandle, but their joints don't bend every direction. They're not multifunctional to move in a circle every direction, you know, shoulders and stuff like that. So you have to be thoughtful. And especially with a fiddle front dog, if you take the arm underneath and cross it underneath the body and do the nail trim on the opposite side, it's easier for them to balance because that's the natural direction that leg is attached and meant to go, unfortunately for the poor dogs. But if you take that under consideration, then they will accept the nail trim a little bit better. The hammocks are helpful two different ways. Like, you can use a hammock where you take the dog completely off the ground, but you can also use a hammock where their feet still touch, and it's providing more support than a hip strap, more overall body support, and they're giving confidence to the dog who may or may not have that balancing ability.
Yeah, I also have front straps. They're like the back strap, except they don't have the way to hook them up to the front pole.
I've got a set of those too. I've got three different sizes of that one that can help with the front and the back. The little teeny tiny dogs, they are always out of balance if you pick up a foot because they're just so small. I find with these guys that if they're so small that they cannot balance easily when I'm manipulating their feet, plus they want to twist their leg off, have mom hold the dog, mom or dad hold the dog, and do the nails with the dog in their arms. And if they have a tendency to be nippy, don't trust the owner to protect you. Go ahead and muzzle the dog so that neither you nor the owner get bit while you're trying to do those microscopic size nails on that teeny tiny Yorkie that has a leg the size of a toothpick.
I know. I would do that, and I've got a couple of walking chihuahuas that come for their nails, and we sit down and do it. And now it's not social distancing.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
So you have to deal with that.
Right. Since I'm mostly outside, if we're both wearing masks, I'm standing outside there holding the dog. I guess that's why I didn't think about it. But for you, you're right, because you're in an enclosed space. So that might not be a good option.
I just offer them a mask if they don't have one, which I do anyway, and just firm up my own mask, and I do it quickly.
Can you think of anything else that will help people with dogs that can't balance?
No, I think we've covered it. Stick a fork in that subject.
Actually, stick a fork in the show because we've made it. We made it to the end, and now I've got nothing to do. I don't know what to do with myself. Holy crap. I did everything during the quarantine. There's nothing left to do around here.
Oh, jeez. God.
Well, at least I can go out. At least that we've got limited travel, so I can go do some shopping or buy some groceries or interact with other people. We can actually interact with up to 5 people now, so that's a big, exciting time here in the big Northwest. Woo! All right, Barbara.
Okay, Susie.
I hope your owie heals up fast, because that's just annoying.
Yeah, it's just in a little tricky place, but it's going to be fine.
Good, good. Okay, what do you say we do this next week? Only let's invite Jennifer Lee to join us. She didn't make it this week because they're actually moving their warehouse. But we'll be talking to the lady who has founded iGroom.
Oh boy, I can't wait to have her on. She's fun.
All right, guys, happy grooming. We'll see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.